chapter 5 and the verse number 5, the Lord says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. We know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to open the scriptures of truth. The entrance of thy word giveth light, and we ask, Lord, that as we take this short time to meditate in thine eternal truth, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be opened, that to us will be given understanding in spiritual things, in those things that pertain to our peace and to our salvation. And grant, Lord, if there be any in our midst this evening who are yet strangers to God and to grace, who are outside of the kingdom of God, we ask tonight that they may be quickened and awakened and made to see their lost condition, awakened up from wrath to flee to Christ, to flee to the cross, to flee to his precious blood, and to find cleansing and pardon and salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, give help now, and may the Holy Spirit be evident in our midst. We ask these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's own description of his kingdom, his spiritual kingdom. And in this description, he sets out the nature of the people who belong to that kingdom, the people who are members of the kingdom of God. It ought to be our chief priority tonight. The one matter that concerns us most, to see to it that we are inside the kingdom, that we have entered into the kingdom, that we belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We're not left to our own speculation, to our own imagination, to our own theories, to our own opinions as to the nature of this kingdom. The Lord sets out in detail what his kingdom is like. That's the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount. He's describing the nature of this spiritual kingdom and the nature of the people who belong to it. He sets it out in detail. And when we begin to examine closely what the Lord said, it will become evident to us that this kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is very different to this world in its present fallen, sinful condition. And that's demonstrated here in this third beatitude that we are coming to consider this evening. Verse number 5, the Lord says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The spirit of the world is undeniably a spirit of conquest. Fallen man has a nature that is set upon the advancement of his own self-interests. And in pursuit of that self-interest, the world adopts the policy of self-assertiveness. That's the characteristic of the world and the kingdoms of men. The philosophy of the world is this: if you're going to get anywhere in this world, if you're going to advance, if you're going to make gain, if you're going to inherit the earth, then you must assert yourself, and you must even manifest an aggressive spirit in order to inherit the earth. It really stems from the idea of the survival of the fittest, that idea that comes out of evolutionary thinking. It's all focused on self. Self is first. And it doesn't matter who you have to trample over. It doesn't matter who gets hurt along the way, so long as self advances. But the Lord Jesus, in this third beatitude, identifies a characteristic that is altogether opposite to the spirit of the world, to the thinking of fallen man. The Lord says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now that's a statement that we must ponder. That's a statement that we must consider. And when you begin to consider it, it raises a number of questions. The first of which is straightforward. What is this meekness that the Lord Jesus refers to? And when you come to a question like that, very often, to discover the answer, to find out the answer, you've got to look at both sides of it. You've got to find out what this meekness is and what it is not, both the positive and the negative aspects. The Lord is saying here, the members of his kingdom are altogether different from the world, the kingdoms of men, the fallen nature of man that is focused on self, that is self-assertive and aggressive in gaining and inheriting the earth. The Lord Jesus says, my subjects, my people are not so. Instead, they are meek. And it is that meekness that characterizes those who are saved, those who are born again of the Spirit, belonging to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Well, how do we define this term? How do we come to understand what the Lord is referring to? Well, it's a term that's used a number of times in the Scriptures. And when you begin to follow those references, you'll find that it is coupled with other qualifying descriptions that help us to understand what is referred to here. Turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. What a great text of Scripture this is. It is the Lord's great invitation to sinners, those who are heavy laden, those who are bowed down under the burden of sin. And Jesus says in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a promise. It is only Jesus Christ who can give rest to the troubled souls of men. This world is a restless world. It's like the waves of the sea, continual motion, perpetual movement. Men are not at rest. Men are not at peace. And when the soul of man is brought under the awareness of sin, oh, how terrible is that restlessness. But Jesus says, "Come unto me." He is the answer. And in him alone, the souls of men will find rest. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And isn't it interesting that when the Lord Jesus refers to meekness, that he couples it with the thought of being lowly in heart? And what that simply means is that those who come on to Christ, who find salvation in him, who follow him, who are members of his kingdom, in manifesting the spirit of meekness, they are lowly in heart. In other words, they do not place the emphasis upon themselves. That's what it means. That's giving us the first idea, the first glimpse of what meekness is. It's lowliness of heart. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And this time, the word meekness used in the chapter, in verse number 12, is coupled with something else very similar. Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. Humbleness of mind, humility. And humility is the opposite of a proud spirit. A proud spirit is a spirit that is focused on self, that cannot see anything else but self. But the Apostle Paul identifies that the spirit of meekness, which characterizes those who are saved, is not only that lowliness of mind, but it is the humbleness of mind. It is the opposite of pride. If you turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and the verse number 1, the apostle speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. In this time, the word that qualifies the meekness is gentleness. In other words, slow to anger, not quick to anger, not rash or hot-headed, but rather control of temper. When you look at the opposite of this, and you see a mind, a heart that is focused on self, that is proud, it's very often quick to defend itself. And it becomes hot-headed, rash. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter this time gives us another description of meekness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, he's speaking now, he's addressing believing women. And he says to the ladies, let it not be, but rather let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You'll notice that meekness this time is coupled with quietness. It's very often when that verse is quoted, people think that quietness has to do with speaking. But you'll notice it's not reference to the mouth. It is a reference to the spirit. A quiet spirit. And the thought here is that this quiet spirit doesn't make a noise about itself. When it's coupled with meekness, that's the sense. Doesn't make a noise about itself, as if everything revolved around that individual. That's what this quiet spirit is. It is an attitude of mind and spirit towards self, coupled with meekness. Blessed are the meek. Meekness is an attitude of mind about oneself. It is a true opinion of self. That's what the Lord is talking about. When we come to the subject of the kingdom of God, and those who are inside the kingdom of God, they have a certain opinion about themselves. And it is a true opinion. They are meek. They're not proud. Because they see nothing in themselves of which to boast or glory in. They are lowly in mind. They are humble in heart. The meek do not seek to promote self or to brag of themselves. When others speak or act unjustly, the meek man is not concerned with aggressively defending his wounded ego, defending his pride, because he sees nothing worth defending in himself. Now, when you take these characteristics, these descriptions, and bring it into the context of the Sermon on the Mount, you can begin to see even more so the order and progression that there is in these Beatitudes. The Lord begins with the poor in spirit. And this is spiritual poverty. This is the recognition that in ourselves we have nothing that can commend us to God, nothing that can earn His favor. We are spiritually bankrupt sinners, no righteousness to make us acceptable in God's sight. And when we realize our spiritual poverty, it is then that we mourn over our sin that has robbed us of that glory. Blessed are they that mourn. But following on, the Lord identifies the spirit of meekness. And what he is saying is this: those who are truly saved, truly born again of the Spirit, have a true opinion, a true reflection of themselves. They know themselves to be what they truly are in the sight of God. That's what meekness is. But that brings us to the opposite side, as it were, of the coin, because very often Bible terms can be misapplied and misunderstood and made to represent things that they are not. When people think of meekness today, they have this idea of someone who is perpetually nice, never upset, never angry, would do anything to avoid disagreement. That's what they think meekness is. Did you notice there in Numbers chapter 12 that reference is made to Moses? And I read this chapter with intention. In verse number 3 of Numbers 12, we're told that the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And on this occasion, Moses is criticized by his sister and his brother for taking an Ethiopian woman into marriage union with himself. And as is the case most often, the spotlight moves away from the initial cause of controversy and moves on to something else. They actually began to question his leadership. Has the Lord spoken only by Moses? But isn't it interesting how Moses responds here? There is no reference to his response. Instead, the Lord said that Moses was very meek. But that doesn't mean to say that Moses never got angry. That doesn't mean to say that Moses never had any disagreement with anyone else. Cast your mind back to Mount Sinai, receiving the commandments of God, coming down from the mount, and he sees the people in idolatry with the golden calf, and he takes the tablets, and with anger he breaks the tablet at the foot of the idol. What made the difference between Exodus 32 and Numbers 12 was that Exodus was focused not on Moses, but on the glory of God. The honor of God had been despised by the people. In Numbers 12, the focus was on Moses. The criticism was from his brother and sister, aimed at himself. And there's no response. And the reason why is because he was meek. Meekness is about having a true opinion of yourself, having an opinion of self that is taught of God, to see ourselves as we really are in the sight of God. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul describes the servant of the Lord, and he says he is meek. And then immediately after, he instructs him to fight the good fight of faith. There's a battle, there's a contention. It's not this idea of being perpetually nice and never having any disagreements with anybody. The Lord was meek in heart. And yet when he went into the temple and he saw the money changers, he was angry and he overthrew the tables. Meekness in believers, in those who are the members of Christ's kingdom, is all about having a recognition of ourselves as we really are in the sight of God. The Lord is teaching us something very important here, teaching us something about salvation. How a person who is saved thinks about themselves. There is a true opinion of self taught of God. But you'll notice here in this text, not only does it raise the question, what is this meekness that the Lord refers to, but it also raises another question, what is promised to those who are meek? And the Lord answers it. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The world frowns on this meekness. It's something to be shunned. The world is possessed by self-promotion and self-advancement. The ungodly man is naturally proud. He has a high opinion of himself. To make it in this life, he has to assert himself, put himself forward, trample on others. But that approach and that spirit and that attitude is destined to fail. The Lord says it is only the meek who will inherit the earth. We're really looking here at the contrasts in the two kingdoms. The kingdom of the world, to which all men by natural generation belong, no matter what nationality they are, no matter what color of skin, no matter what their political affiliations are, when they are born naturally into this world, they are born into the kingdom of this world. They all have the same nature, sinful, fallen nature. And it's pride. And it thinks to itself, in order to advance, it's the survival of the fittest. And I must assert myself. Doesn't matter who I trample on. Self comes first. Doesn't matter what country you go to. You'll find the very same outlook. But it is a doomed philosophy. It's destined to fail. The Lord said, only the meek will inherit the earth. And the meek are those who realize their nothingness, who cast themselves upon the grace and the mercy of God that is revealed in the gospel and purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39. This verse is explained in the context of the Beatitude. The Lord said, verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Here's the two contrasting kingdoms, the two contrasting outlooks. Here's the difference between meekness and the spirit of pride that possesses the heart of fallen man. He that findeth his life, in other words, he puts himself first and he asserts himself and he tramples over everybody else to advance himself. The Lord says, he that finds his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life. And the Lord speaks here now in reference to how the world looks upon meekness. And the world sees a meek man, a meek woman. The world writes them off. They've wasted their lives. They've lost out. They haven't climbed the ladder of success. They've lost out. But notice what Jesus said. He that loses his life in the world's reckoning, in the world's estimation, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's the contrast between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the world. The ungodly pursue their own end, their own interest, and it will be lost. But those who are meek, realizing what they are, seek to live to the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom, and they inherit the earth. It's a promise that relates to eternity. Not necessarily fulfilled in this life, but at that time when the Lord will create a new heaven and a new earth, and his people will dwell in the presence of God for all eternity, they will enjoy that new creation. That's what the Lord is referring to by inheriting the earth. He has eternity in view. The world thinks that the believer has lost his life, but eternity will set the record straight. And when the rich man in his torments looks and he sees Lazarus in the kingdom of heaven, enjoying all the delights of that heavenly realm, it's then that he realizes he found his life, but he lost his soul. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But where does this spirit of meekness come from? It's something that is not found naturally. It's not possessed by men and women naturally. They do not have this. By nature, born into this world, we are born with this fallen nature that is focused on self, that is full of pride. It is only when we are born again that these spiritual characteristics are created within us. Galatians 5 and verse 22, the apostle outlining the fruit of the Spirit, what is produced by the Holy Spirit, one of them is meekness. This true opinion of self as seen in the sight of God. It is the fruit of that inner work of the Holy Spirit, regenerating, quickening us, making us anew. This is our great need. The great truth that arises out of the Sermon on the Mount is this: you cannot enter this kingdom unless you are born again of the Spirit of God. You must have a spiritual birth. You must be regenerated with life from above. The Spirit of God must work in the heart. And when the Spirit of God works in the heart, one of the marks, one of the traits is this: he causes us to see ourselves as we really are in the sight of God. You remember how the Lord told of the two men that came into the temple? One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The publicans were tax collectors. They were despised by the people. They were looked down upon. The Pharisee was the religious leader. He walks right up to the front of the temple. He stands in the sight of everybody. And he begins to parade all that he has done. All that he's not. Publican standing at the back wouldn't even lift his head to heaven, but smote his breast and said, "O God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He was the meek man. And that confession demonstrated the estimation that he had of himself. And that estimation was the product of the Spirit of God working in his heart, causing him to see he was a bankrupted sinner. His only hope was to cast himself upon Jesus Christ, to be born again of the Spirit. This spirit of meekness is a gift of God. It is the outworking of the inworking of the Holy Spirit in the heart. The Sermon on the Mount emphasizes like no other sermon, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. These are the marks of those who belong to this kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom, and as such it has spiritual requirements for those who belong. James said that the Bible is like a mirror. And you know what a mirror does when you stand in front of the mirror? The mirror shows you your true reflection, your true image. When you open the Bible, it is a mirror. It'll show you what you truly are. What you are naturally, a lost sinner. And it will also show you what you need to be, which only the grace of God in salvation can make you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let me ask you tonight in closing, are you born again of the Spirit? Can you see yourself poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt, mourning over your sin with a true opinion as to how you really are in the sight of God naturally? These are the traits of the kingdom of God.